Book of Psalms tonight, chapter 37. Book of Psalms, chapter 37. I'm going to read the first seven verses of this chapter. Great, great chapter. I'm going to deal with the first seven verses, so we'll just read those. Because I think they really have a context all of their own. Notice what it says. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you. We have a privilege to read your word. And I ask, oh God, that you might help us to make the sense of this tonight. And, oh God, that we might learn these tremendous directives for our life. Bless and work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In her book, Attitude is Everything, Vicki, if I can say her name right, Hitzgees, she wrote this. You don't know her either. She said, I used to worry a lot. The more I fretted, the more proficient I became at it. Anxiety begets anxiety. I even worried that I worried too much. Ulcers might develop. My health could fail. My finances could deplete to pay the hospital bills. A comedian once said, I tried to drown my worries with gin, but my worries are equipped with flotation devices. Well, not a drinker, I certainly could identify. My worries could swim, jump, and pole vault. End of quote. She went to a man by the name of Fred Smith. He was a man who mentored Zig Ziglar. You may have heard of him. And she asked him if he ever worried and received the confession that he had at one time been a top-notch worrier, but had learned a very important truth. And he said to her this, and I quote, I decided that I would wait to worry, he explained. I decided I'd wait until I actually had a reason to worry. Something that was happening, not just something that might happen before I worried. End of quote. Our very first verse says, fret not, don't worry. Don't worry, he says, especially because of evildoers, nor be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Did you know that studies have revealed that worry is 92% inefficient? Doesn't do any good. Doesn't help the situation at all. Only 8% of worry ever becomes remotely true. In other words, out of every 100 things you worry about, only 8 of them ever happened. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher in the 1800s, he said this, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. One old wise preacher, he said this, I'm not sure how he did it, he said, I set aside 5 minutes a day for worry. Interesting thoughts. In other words, worry is a choice we make to do. It is. That's why the psalmist said, fret not, because we can make the choice not to do so. Listen to what the Word of God says in the book of Luke. And it's talking about Mary and Martha. It says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath, listen to these, Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She had chosen not to worry, but to spend her time with the Lord. And God blessed in that. I have learned, personally, I've learned I can choose not to worry. I can choose to worry. If you were to talk to my wife, she will tell you in years past, I could do a real good job of fretting. And there's probably been some years that I could probably get a medal in it. If there was an Olympic event called worrying, I could probably sometimes place first place. But it's a choice we make. And I discovered I don't like making that choice to do it anymore. You know, there are certain people, they seem to like to live in squalor. They like to live where it's complainative. They like to live being sick. They like living in those kind of situations. I don't know about you, but I don't like living there. Like all whiners, feel sorry for selfers, all those people who are in their moods at all time, they seem to like the hominess of these dens of iniquity. But brethren, we can do like the prodigal son did, and that is make a choice to change our residency. And so he comes to us and says, don't worry. Fret not thyself. Don't be worrying about what's going to take place because of folks out there who are seeking to do evil. God will take care of that. We don't need to worry. By the way, you go back to that prodigal and think about what happened to him. When he made that choice to go to another place of residency, he went back to his father's house. His thinking got changed, and that's where he ended up. And I believe there's a simple key that's laid down in Psalm chapter 37, and that is this. Quit fretting and start doing. Fret not, but do. I learned something, preached on it a number of years ago for the very first time, and that is, for everything you give up in your life, you need to have a replacement. God said to put off the old man, and what did he also say to do? Put on the new man. Okay? So if you're going to give up something, then you need to what? Take on something. If you quit going to the bars, you need to start going to church. Amen? And there's things that we quit doing, but in retrospect, we also need to understand there are things that then we must replace it with. Things that we need to start doing. And so when you look in Psalm chapter 37, and we could go a lot farther than the first seven verses, but I want us to notice here, he starts out and he says, don't fret, but here's what you do do. We find here several verses in the imperative. The imperative in the English language is basically a command. The subject is understood. There's no subject given, but it's understood to be you. And so we come to verse number 3, as it says in verse number 1. And the subject is, you don't fret. And the subject in verse number 3 is, you trust in the Lord. So what we quit doing, fretting not, God says, here's something we start doing. And that is trusting. Instead of fretting, trusting is not fretting. Just the opposite, really. We can live in the land of peace as opposed to the wilderness as the Jew did of murmuring. We can look to God, we can trust in Him as opposed to worrying. Now consider for a moment, is worrying trust? Is worrying faith? By no means. And so when you and I worry, when you and I were fretting about this or the other thing, we're not trusting God. And so God is telling us here, don't worry, but trust in the Lord. And he puts with that, and do good. Get busy. Do something. My mother believed that young people would not get in trouble if they were too busy doing good things. And so, especially when she wasn't working her day off, I would be doing things. And the only way I would get in trouble is if I tried to run off. And she'd keep me busy and have me doing this and have me doing that. And she would say something about idle hands are the devil's workshop. Trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, if we're going to trust, then we get busy. And let God work through whatever it is that we are doing. He said, and do good, as thou shalt dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. So if we're going to trust in him, we're not going to have to worry about moving somewhere else because things are getting bad. Hey, this is where God wants us. We dwell here and we do what God wants us to do. Just trust him for whatever comes our direction. Trust in the Lord. Then notice verse number four. Can't even count. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I do not know why. Other than years ago, I used to go to Dairy Queen and get a thing called Pecan Delight. But when I think of the word delight, I think ice cream. Who said amen? Yum? Probably a more appropriate word in this case. Delight. If we are delighting, are we fretting? Not at all. If we're going to replace this thing of worrying, replace it with trusting and replace it with delighting. It is seeing all the pleasure that God has for us. It comes down from above. It's realizing God is the author of all that is good, looking unto him. It is seeing whatever it is in our lives as the miracle and the wonder of God. And we are delighting in him. What a magnificent word. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall what? Give thee the desires of thine heart. You mean anything I want, God will give it? Hey, if you're delighting in him, you are walking in the right path, and your desire is probably the same as God wants for you. It's a marvelous place. So God says, yeah, delight in me. I will take care of your every need and even all those things that you have desire for. And it's amazing when we're delighting in him, the desire for selfish things kind of fades away. Because our real desire is for the glory of God. And then verse 5. Can you see a progression here? He says, fret not, but trust. Fret not, trust, and then delight. Fret not and trust, delight, and then what? Commit. Is committing fretting? I don't think so. If we have committed ourselves to him, we've given ourselves unto him, are we worrying? I think of the farmer. He goes out and he prepares his ground. Of course, today they just drill the seed into it, but whatever he does, he puts the seed in the ground. He's committing that seed to the ground. He cannot make that corn, that soybean, he can't make, whether it's wheat or barley or whatever it is, he cannot make it grow. What's he do? He commits it to the ground. He commits it really, ultimately, to God. He must leave the rest of it up to him. It is God that must bring the rains. Now, he might be able to do something in the way of irrigation. He might be able to do something whereby he can bring some water on himself, and that's fine. But ultimately, it is God that must germinate that seed and cause it to grow. He leaves it up to him. He's committing that seed to him. In other words, when we commit ourselves to God, it is doing what he wants us to and letting him take care of what we can't do. Some folks believe that if we really are trusting God, we are living by faith, then We don't have to do anything. We don't have to protect ourselves. We don't have to feed ourselves. We can just sit there and pray, and God will bring water in the glass. It will come floating up to us. Is that right? If we're really living by faith, we don't have to do anything. We just ask God to do it, and God will tap on somebody's shoulder that's not saved, and they'll do it for us. No, it's doing what we can and then believing for God to take care of what we can't do. You see, my job as a pastor, one of the things I'm to do, I believe, is to teach you the Word of God. And so I take some time, I study, and I go through things, and I try to learn what I can learn and develop that and try to present that to you the best I know how. But it ultimately, it is up to God to really put that in your heart, because ultimately it's the Holy Spirit of God that teaches biblical truth. I'm not the teacher in that regard. I can teach, but ultimately it's the Holy Spirit of God. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what the Bible says. He's the one that reveals truth to us. And my job is to do that. Then it's God's job to do the other. Committed to Him. But there's things that I can do. It's interesting. At this stage of life, there's things I used to be able to do I cannot do now. But I give myself to the things I can do and let God take care of the things I can't do. That's committing ourselves unto Him. And it's a matter of being busy for Him. If you and I understand something, if we're going to quit worrying about things, we just need to trust God. How do we do that? Well, God said do this, so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust Him for the results and let Him take care of the rest of it. I'm just going to delight myself in Him, commit myself unto Him, and let Him take care of the rest of that. Because that's all I can do. There were people, no doubt, really worried about this storm. I like what Greg said tonight. We're going to get what we're going to get. No matter what you do, you're not going to change it. The rain's going to come out of the sky. God's going to freeze it just the way He wants to do it. I mean, that's His business. You're not going to change it. So why worry about it? What can we do? Well, one thing, when we go outside, we're not going to go outside barefooted, are we? I see Grace shaking her head, and I believe her. Now, she probably would. See, how do you know that? Because I've seen her do it. Haven't I? Yes. But wise people, they're going to put on some shoes and socks. They're going to put on some coats and hats, and they're going to prepare themselves that way. Matter of fact, if you look out there and you find that there's some slick spots out there, and if you've got it, you're going to take some salt or whatever it is, and sand or kitty litter, whatever you've got. I used to spread kitty litter over the parking lot. It works. Doesn't do good on this carpet, but it works. But you take what you have and you use it. And you just trust God to go through the whole thing. Yeah. You can sit home tonight and worry, is the ice going to build up and the power lines are going to come down? I'll be without electricity, my furnace won't work. Won't even be able to turn my stove on. Aren't we great at a great age? I mean, usually you could turn your stove on at least. And, you know, we're going to worry. What good will it do you? You do what you can. So before the power goes out, go home, turn your thermostat up to 90, and have your house nice and warm. But seriously, trust Him, amen, for the things that you cannot do. But there are things that you can do. And then notice the last thing in verse number 7. There's more imperative sentences. You'll look at verse number 8 to notice too, but we're going to stop at verse 7. Notice what he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then he says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says, quit worrying about other stuff. Don't worry about other folks. What? Rest in the Lord. Resting is not fretting. Resting, as I think about resting in the Lord, I think about it in this regard. If I'm going to rest in the Lord, I'm just going to let God do it the way He wants to do it, when He wants to do it. Don't try to put God in a box and tell Him you better do it in this amount of time or I'm going to be really upset. Because you're going to be really upset. And rest in the Lord is realizing, hey, I've committed this thing to God. I've given myself to Him. And now I can just relax in Him. And it doesn't matter the time frame in it. I'm going to allow God to work and do it in His best time, even if it seems overdue. Have you heard the song, 4 Days Late? What a tremendous message that is. As the Lord Jesus Christ shows up supposedly late when Lazarus had passed away. But Jesus wasn't late. He was on time. Why was He on time? Well, Lazarus already died. Well, He was on time to raise him up. We just need to trust Him. Yeah. Fretting, worrying. Where'd it get you? You guys are all in school. I don't know what you're in. We don't know what you went off down there south. We're not sure what you're doing. But we know in years past. You're all in our school. Did you take a test Friday? Didn't you? How many? One? Two? Two? Do you have any? You didn't take any? You didn't. You never did take them. Do you have any tests? You didn't have any tests either? You and Lindsay didn't have tests? What's wrong with you guys? Did you? Did you have one, two? One? Did you have any? How many did you have? Three. Okay. We need to learn this as young people. When I got to college, and we'd be getting very close to the time of finals. You know what people would be doing? They'd be cramming. They'd be trying to shove all that stuff in their head. And they'd be so worried. And I'd see, we'd be outside the classroom just before we go in, and they'd be out there, and they'd be looking at all this, and they were scared to death. They were worried, worried, worried. And they were going through all this stuff, and going back and forth and back and forth. And I thought to myself, this is a bunch of malarkey. Why put yourself through this? I wasn't even saved yet, but I figured this out. And I decided, I'm just going to do my best day from day. Each day, do my work and try to learn what I could learn. And I'd read through my notes once in a while. And day before a test, I'd read through my notes if I had time. And I'd go to bed that night, go to sleep. Most of these guys would walk in, they hadn't even slept all night. They'd been up all night trying to cram all this stuff in their head. They had so many things floating around their head, they were scrambling before class. It was crazy. How many have been in college you've seen this take place? It's actually hilarious. I decided in high school, I ain't going to worry about this stuff. I'll get what I'm going to get. I'm going to do my best, and well, I didn't always do that, but I'm going to get what I get. And you know what I found out? It works better. Because you walk into the classroom, you're not all worried, you're not all tense, your mind is clear, and you get the test. And from time to time, I'd look like, uh-oh, I didn't study that one. But I'd end up doing pretty good on my tests. And I was free of the worry. And I see these guys doing it. But you know, as Christians, we oftentimes, that's the way we live, like we're cramming for tests. All worried about it. Yeah. And how we need to just quit fretting, trust God. Delight ourselves in Him. What do we replace that worry with? Trust. When you're trusting, you're not worrying. When you're delighting in the Lord, you're not worrying. I mean, that's your thrill. That's your excitement. When you're committing yourself unto the Lord, and you've done all you can do, and the rest's up to God because you can't do anything about it. You're letting Him take care of it. In His time, in His way. And then you got that rest. It's magnificent. That's where God wants us at. Amen? I mean, think about this. Quit fretting and start trusting. Quit fretting and start delighting. Quit fretting and commit. Quit fretting and rest. Marvelous spot. Not always there, but I like being there. Really. I like being relaxed. Yeah. I know pastors, they are one bundle of nerves. I read some time back, the average age of a pastor because of worry is 57. They worry themselves into the grave. It ain't worth it. And there's so much we can do and allow God to work without doing that. Yeah. It's a neat spot. And worry makes for stress. I hope you weren't worrying about your test. Quit fretting. Did you do your best ahead of time? Quit fretting. Are you excited about Jesus? Quit fretting. Takes away the excitement. Huh? Yeah. Just a great place to be. You weren't fretting because you didn't take a test. Bubba never frets. Because he's too busy. There's something in that too, amen? Yeah, trust him.